addicting game that's fun for all. I really want to be a pickleball star. Some say I can't, they say it's too hard. Oh yeah, pickleball. Of all the racket games, it's the most fun of all.
Well, okay, boys. All right, there, we've got a microphone, and this is Pickle Chat with Kitty and Donna. Welcome to the show, and good day, ladies. How's it going?
Hi, how are you? How you doing, Donna?
Oh, that was a lot of music there. I don't know what was going on with that. We got to get the band to quiet down, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what's wrong with those guys.
I do, too. I love the lyrics.
So, all right.
So what's on our agenda today? Let's see.
Talking about pickleball rules.
Oh, yeah, we were, yeah. We took that test online, right? That was a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think I got 88%.
We scored respectably.
Yeah, we were.
We obviously missed some key rules. You know, I went and looked, I printed out the rule book because I obviously wanted to read it before I took the test.
Sure.
Just read through it real quickly. But in the front of the book, it says that the rules were published in March of 1984. Of course, they've been edited along the way as they get changed every year. But that's how long this has been, you know, officially a game.
Yeah, and it's surprising. A lot of people don't realize that. They think it's new. It's just become so much more popular with so many different age groups and people playing, even around the world, not only in the United States, but there's pickleball groups in Japan.
Are they allowing Canadians to do this?
Canadians love pickleball.
I don't know. I didn't know they were allowed. I thought there was like rules.
Speaking of rules, I want your opinion on something. What do you think about rules, following the rules to the letter in rec play? A lot of people say, well, you know, it's just social play. We don't have, you know, we can be a little light on the rules. What's your opinion on that?
So, obviously, there's rule-specific to tournament play in the rule book, which, obviously, those are excluded. But, you know, like timeout rules. If we're doing rec play, you know, who cares about if a few minutes longer someone's taking a break or there's a shift between time when someone's checking in. I think sometimes you can get too strict.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it's just rec play, you probably can lighten up a little bit, but obviously there still has to be some guidelines for people to follow.
Well, I think it sometimes gets too lax. I mean, if you're not going to play by the rules, you're not going to really learn the game as you should, in my opinion.
Well, I would say, as an outsider, I've never even seen pickleball played. But I think if it's just two people kicking back, that's fine. But once you have a group of people together, then the rules have become very, very important.
I think so.
It's like four strikes, you're out?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm talking about like when people commit kitchen fouls, line fouls. You know, a lot of times you have people say, oh, I want to do it over, or let's have you do it over. I mean, it's not going to ruin my day, but I just think that if you let people have too much slack, they're not going to learn how to properly play the game. I mean, there's mulligans in golf. And, you know, if you decide beforehand you want to, you know, have people who are new, that's different. You know, get an extra serve or something. But
wouldn't those be better like on a one-on-one thing where they're just practicing and not playing?
Yeah, that's
but
different.
But as soon as you start playing. But,
I mean, why? Yeah, exactly. Because
if you're going to play, play.
That's right.
If you're going to practice, practice.
Right. That's the way I look at it, Frank.
No, I agree. But, like, for example, if you're playing with someone and you know, there was some distraction, you know, on the side court.
Yeah.
Obviously, the rules say, you know, that that there can be a replay.
Right.
But if you're just playing for fun.
Yeah, you and I differ on that. You're more of a fun player. I'm more of a competitive player, which is fine.
Yeah.
But I always say, like, you know, if you're keeping score, you're obviously that you're doing that for a reason. Try to win the game. Try to get a better score. I mean, I'll never forget. But then I come from a really competitive family. I'll never forget when my husband came to play cards with my family. My dad, we were playing Sheep's Head, which is a German card game from Milwaukee. And it's very kind of complex, and you have to keep the score. And my dad kind of lost track of the score. And my husband said, well, why don't we just not keep score? And like 12 heads just kind of, just kind of like zero.
What?
Not keep score? How will we know who will win?
No, I like keeping score. There's no question about that. I agree with you in most facets. I really do. I want to know what the rules are, and I want to teach them, enforce them, and follow them. But there's, you know, when you have rec play, remember when we were first starting?
Yeah.
You know, you don't know all the, and again, we can talk about rules and we can talk about protocol, and they're different.
Right, they are.
But we have to be patient and kind with new players coming in and trying to help them love the game as much as we do.
Right.
And I think sometimes the way in which we say things or how we enforce things can turn people off, and that's not what we're about.
You're right. You're right. And, you know me, but sometimes I mouth off a little.
No, I think you're both actually right on this.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, I'm a, and thank you guys for the cards. That was very nice of you.
You're welcome.
If you're in with a group and you say, you know what, let's just have some fun. We're not going to worry about all the intricacies of it. That's the way it should be played. Mm-hmm. But when you get with other people, unless it's a decision the group makes or the individuals make, then you play by the rules. Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to learn the game, play the game.
Right.
But
exactly.
I play bass. I like playing music. That's how I relax. And we go through with a practice. And you hit it, you hit it, you don't, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're out playing in front of people, I want it right.
Yeah, see, that's kind of the way I look at it.
So they're both instances are correct. But it should be decided before the game. Otherwise, you're going to be causing hard feelings.
Right.
Yeah.
You get together before the game. You say, okay, we're just going to toss the rule book out of here. You know, let's have some fun and not worry about it. Call it practice, you know, sharpening your skills. But if you're going to play a game, play the game, follow the rules, do it right. But decide that before you do it.
Right. And we actually do that with the regulars that we play with. Everyone follows the rules.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, but I'll give you an example. The other day, Kathy and I intentionally went there to play with three new players.
Mm-hmm.
And so obviously only four people can play at a time, so one of us played with them at all times. The whole purpose was to teach them the rules and how to play.
Right.
Thankfully, the courts weren't full.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things we all agreed on up front is each of the three new people could have three shots at serving. And obviously that's against the rules.
Yeah, well,
but we were playing amongst ourselves. We had open courts, and so we were trying to teach. And we did that. But now, talk about protocol. If the courts were full, we can't extend the play. And that obviously extends the play. Mm-hmm. So we couldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have to get out and come back on in a timely manner. But, you know, like Frank, you said it perfectly. I think you have to agree upon it up front with the foursome that you're playing with. And for the most part, when we do rec play, it's understood that we're going to follow the rules of the game.
All right. Yeah. My question is, what are the rules for serving?
Well, yeah.
So first of all, you have to call out the score before you begin to play.
You have 10 seconds to do it.
Right. And, you know, if it's a fault if you don't call out the score ahead of your play or your serve.
Right. And that's kind of a pet peeve of mine. We play with so many people in social play that don't call out the serve. Drives me out of my mind.
Right.
You know, or don't know the score. Consistently don't know the score.
So, all right, that's a good example, though. In tournament play, that's a fault.
Right.
But we would never do that on rec play. I mean, usually you'll correct the person. So if they say their score, the opponent's score, and the server number that they are, and they reverse it, all you do is correct them. But technically, in the tournament, they would have a fault.
Right. And then there are people who are just soft-spoken.
Right.
You can't hear them say the score.
And when Beatrice, she's
I hate that because I'm hard of hearing. I can't hear. I'm constantly leaning over the counter, putting my ear to somebody. I was like, could you just please give me a break?
Listen, there are people that you can have ears as sharp as a dog, and you're not going to hear them call the score. And they're just soft-spoken. What I do when I play with someone like that is I call it out for them. So everyone knows, you know.
Yeah.
And as far as your question, Frank, there's also rules about the serve that your wrist can't be higher than your waist when you serve it. So you have to, you can't do like
so
the sidearm.
It's underhand serve.
Yes, it's underhand serve, basically.
But if your wrist comes up above the line of your waist, you get...
It's a fault.
Okay, now, what is a fault? Is that a drop a point, or is it a... Is it,
if you're serving, you lose
you just,
the...
You just lose the serve, or...
Well, yes.
In the serving game, that would be the fault, but there's other faults that mean you don't get a point.
Well, I have a lot of faults. They're hard to keep up with, so I'm trying to learn those.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, what's the... All right. I go through and I serve. My wrist comes up above my waist. Do I get... I lose my serve.
You lose the serve.
And the other team gets it.
Well, if your partner hasn't already served, there's each team serves twice. Each person on that team serves once.
Okay.
Before you lose the serve to the other side.
Now,
but in this
over
example,
in Radioland, are you beginning to see pickleball is an unusual game of strategy, rules, and what the heck was that?
Okay, what else about the rules, Donna? What are some of the ones you see violated the most?
Well, I would say depending on your level of play.
Right.
So if you're a beginner, I think one of the easiest rules to violate, and I certainly had my share of them, is going in the kitchen.
Right, right.
That's a tough one to get used to, that
it
you have
is.
To stay out of that 3 foot zone, 3 by 10.
7.
Oh, 7 by 10. Yeah, 7 by 10.
So well, it's 7 foot long on each side, and then it's 7 feet like this, and then 10 like this.
What
this
I love
10,
is
and this is 7.
Kitty is now drawing these
the
amazing
kitchen,
pictures showing what the kitchen
messy,
is.
Isn't it?
No, it's
a
7
rectangle
feet.
Shape.
It's, yeah.
7, you're right. 7.
Yeah,
yeah.
I love you.
Yeah.
It's radio.
I know it's radio.
It's 7 foot.
I'm sorry, Donna.
So it's that 7 foot by 10 foot area that I'm calling the kitchen that would be really tough to as a beginner to stay out of. And
well,
basically,
and,
you.
But even as you get better, you're susceptible to kitchen violations because what I have trouble with and what I see other players have trouble with, and not regularly, but once in a while, is the momentum bringing you into the kitchen.
Exactly.
Because you hit a nice, you know, if you're going to hit a hard shot, an overhead, and you're, you know, 6 inches from that kitchen line, well, you know, gravity says, physics, the law of physics say you're going to go, part of your foot's going to go in there.
Yeah.
So it's tricky. And you know, I called a couple people in social play in the kitchen, and they looked at me like I had two heads. And that's my point about, you know, how strict are you?
Right.
Because, you know, that's a
Legitimate fault.
That
I think, again, we're down to the details. People should be following the rules. And I think it's okay to bring that up. And if someone doesn't know that rule, then it's an opportunity to teach them it.
Right, right.
So I agree that you need to enforce the rules for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've given a couple examples where you can maybe give some mercy, but that one certainly is a common mistake, and people need to learn it.
Right.
I'm still learning it.
Oh, yeah.
I think another one that actually happens to all of us, and it's a big one when you're first playing the game, is when you go after balls that you know are too high, far, wide, and we go and try to get them.
Yeah,
let them go out of bounds.
Huge, huge. When you first start playing, you want to hit them all.
Yeah,
and then you learn, let them go.
Right,
easy point. Let them go. They're out.
Okay. How long did it take you to kind of get a hang of this? If somebody wants to start up with pickleball, is you can go out and just have some fun your first day, or
is? Yes, absolutely. You can have fun your first day.
So if you belong to a pickleball club, obviously they have drills, skills,
and
a lot of beginners teaching. And I actually did it at the local rec center.
Mm-hmm.
I was really wanting to play, and I'm like, I've got to go find out how to play. And there's a group here that right here in Punta Gorda that teaches. So
what's your name? Gammy? Brammy? What's your name?
It's St. Francis.
St. Francis.
She goes by.
Yeah, she's a good old soul, that one. She teaches a lot of newbies how to play. And she's Canadian, by the way, Frank. God bless our Canadians.
On some of the other radio shows that we have a ton of Canadian listeners, literally tens of thousands.
Sure.
But doesn't mean I'm not going to pick on them.
Yeah, right.
if you're not picking on them, you don't like them.
Isn't that the truth? My dad always said, boys only tease you if they like you.
See? I never grew up.
So, you know what's funny about pickleball? We were saying in the last broadcast that, you know, how new it felt to us moving to Florida. And it does seem like it's this craze. Well, it's so funny since. Up north, I've been hearing that Maine, New Hampshire now is big on pickleball in the schools. And one of one of my friends sent me a little sheet from a first grader who got 12 out of 12 points for pickleball.
Aww.
You know, it's in first grade they're learning about this in South Dakota.
It. Yeah, oh, that's cool. That's very cool.
So it is spreading, and it's. And I think there's going to be more and more opportunities for new people to learn.
Teach them young.
Yep.
Teach
them young. How many places would you say in... there's got to be dozens of pickleball facilities about Florida, and there's, what, a half a dozen here?
When you say here, you mean Charlotte County?
Yeah,
or?
Southwest Florida is Charlotte County.
Gosh, I know of a half a dozen in this very vicinity.
I can think of three in and three out. There's that inside in Englewood. What's it called? Triangle?
Harold's?
Triangle? No, not in Englewood.
Oh, Englewood.
No. There's a complex there. Triangle,
there's
I think
one
it's
in
called.
North Fort
I'm probably
Myers.
Not pronouncing it right.
Anger?
Engel.
A-I-N-G-T-R-A-N-Triangle-y. Whatever. There's an inside there where a lot of Englewood people play. There's the inside at Harold. There's inside at South County.
Cooper Street, yeah.
There's outside at Cooper. There's outside at Gilcrest.
There's outside at Pickleplex. Which is so beautiful. There's another one in North Fort Myers.
Yep, they're in North Fort Myers. I'm sure there's something in Northport.
And there's a lot of condo associations now that are converting their tennis courts into pickleball courts. So there's a lot of private ones as well.
Yeah, I played at Venturi Lakes on Saturday for the air show. We put up a tent and we played pickleball while the air show was going on, because you can see everything really perfect from there. And they have two courts that they transformed from tennis courts, so they had mobile nets. And now they're building two new ones. They should be done in a couple months.
One question I have. On a pickleball court, is the kitchen marked out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, by lines.
Okay, you got lines on it and all that for that.
Right.
Where with tennis, there's not a lot of lines there. Just the outside ones.
No, there's the serving court as well.
And the center line.
Right, and the center line
doubles.
And the side lines are still.
Right. There's sidelines for singles versus doubles in the serving area.
But in pickleball, what are the lines laid down on the to say this is a pickleball court? You've got the outside perimeter, and then you've got the kitchen laid out.
And you've got the center line.
And it's a half court with a center line on it.
Right.
Exactly.
All right. Half tennis court is the size of it.
No, it's not the size of a tennis court. It's smaller.
Right, but can't you get two pickleball courts into one tennis court?
Yeah, I'm not sure. You could, because... Yeah.
It was half the size of a tennis court.
It is.
Yeah. It's the size, actually, of a badminton court. That's what they designed it to be, the size of a badminton.
But if you were converting a tennis court to a pickleball court, I think you can get two.
One on each side, yeah.
Yes.
So you'd have four sections there.
Right.
All right. So, and then your kitchen's marked out of that. Is there any other marking on the ground besides the kitchen?
There is. So, if you're using an existing tennis court, they would have to remark the sidelines and the center line. Because tennis courts have its boundaries as well.
Right.
Yeah.
And a center line, but I'm not sure if the center line's the same on the two. But I know there needs to be new boundaries laid. Both
the center line
and
is in the
back
middle.
Court,
but what about inside of the boundaries of the pickleball? Is there a serving area laid out?
No.
Okay, so the only thing that has the extra feature is the kitchen.
Right.
That's correct.
Now, what is the kitchen specifically used for?
It's a no-volley zone. We call it the NVZ zone. In other words, the non-volley zone is where you cannot take a ball on a fly, on a volley, and hit it. If you want to go into the non-volley zone, you have to take your hit after the ball bounces.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're getting into something. So if it goes in the zone, it's got to bounce before you hit it.
Right.
If you go in the zone, you can stand in the non-volley zone and hit balls that bounce all day long.
But if your foot goes into it, you have to wait for it to bounce. But if your foot's not in it, you can hit it on the fly.
Correct.
Right. If you're not in it, you can hit it on a fly.
So you can kind of reach over and hit it.
You can,
even though it's
over
there, as long as your feet don't go in there.
Right. Or any part of your clothing or your paddle. There's been times where someone drops their paddle in the kitchen. And
as long
they took
as the
it
paddle
out of
stays in your hand, you're okay. Yeah, but if you drop the paddle that goes in the kitchen, you lose it. Yeah. Okay. See, I'm trying to pick up. The hardest thing about for me is that this is so familiar for you guys. I hear you talking, but I don't really understand what all the stuff is.
Right.
And that's always, you know, because I have no idea why there's a kitchen.
Right. That was tough for us, too, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you think about it, what kind of game would it be if you could have two players standing 6 inches a foot from the net and just banging it at each other? I mean, you know.
Well, if it was the 70s, I'd probably be good with that. But now, no, I can't think it would be. No, I don't think it would be very good. No. Okay. So the kitchen, the only purpose that has is a non-volley zone.
Right.
Which includes serving.
Oh.
No?
Yeah. Well, yes, it does, in the sense that if you can't lob past the kitchen on your opponent's side, you will lose your serve if it goes in the kitchen.
Oh, you mean if you're serving it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to serve it beyond the kitchen.
Okay. So let's go to a. You guys were gone. You had a nice little vacation. And you,
Donna.
How did that go?
Donna was gone.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah? You look like you had fun. You're just like beaming a little
bit. I actually had an opportunity to go to the Cape, which is wonderful in the fall. So we had beautiful foliage. And then New Hampshire's where I'm from. So I spent some time in New Hampshire with my family and friends. And it's always good to go, but it's good to get back home.
And as Kathy would say, she did not get our permission to go or ask us if this would be a good time for her to leave. So next time, check with us. Okay, Donna?
I miss pickleball when I'm away. Oh. I really do.
So I do, too. I do, too.
All right, here's a question. I'm not... Do you pickle when you're away?
Ah, I mean, that's funny.
I don't know how to put it.
Actually, I have yet to pickle afar.
You've never
I have not, but I know it's becoming more and more popular. I just learned since I've been back to Florida that there's some places in New Hampshire near my hometown that started pickleball.
Nice.
So I would like to think in the future I'll travel with pickleball racket
paddle
in hand.
Paddle, yeah.
Have paddle will travel.
There you go.
So a lot of the stuff that we go through, we've only got about 2-3 minutes left.
Okay.
When I'm thinking about this, that's why I kind of ask questions about what lines are on the court and, you know, what these sections do, because, as you know, I know nothing about it. I'm just intrigued with the sport. So did you guys get to play at all in the last couple of days or week?
Oh, yeah.
Right, what happened?
I didn't play today, but I played every other
day.
Oh,
darn you.
I know.
I'm
waiting for my first grandchild to be born. Okay. The first one with my own DNA. So I have some beautiful step-grandchildren, but this will be my first. And I guess she's getting induced tomorrow, 4 a.m., so.
Wow.
Excuses.
I know. So there is no excuse.
We got 1 minute left here. So did you win or lose?
I won some, I lost some.
She lost to me.
Oh, wait a minute. It seems to me that Kathy and I beat you in depth. Yes, we did.
Donna's shaking her head.
Maybe we each won one.
Yeah, right.
I'll give her that.
Come on, we won. Kathy, call in. Back me up here, Kathy.
No, I couldn't wait to get back, and it's been a blast.
Yep. And the weather's starting to cool down. A lot of people are back from up north. So pickle on, my friend.
Pickle on. Yes, pickle on. So anyway, what we're doing is we're just trying to learn about pickle and learn about doing a radio show and just have some fun. Yep. Thank you for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
This is Frank.
It was fun.
That's Kitty. And that's
Hi.
Donna.
See
and Donna won.
Bye. No.
Little Diddy. About pickleball, an addicting game that's fun for all. I really want to be a pickleball star. Some say I can't, they say it's too hard. Oh yeah, pickleball. Of all the racket games, it's the most fun of all.